Friends, as we move turn towards our scripture today, we have been thinking about a theme of Together We Create for the summer. And this is, we're going to wrap that up today. But over the course of the summer, we've been looking across the broad expanse of God's creative power. And so we come to the book of Romans from the New Testament today, from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, his great work, where he two looks over the expanse of God's creative power, God's creating power, God's recreating power, God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And the scripture that we will turn to in Romans 12 is one of the high points in that work. And I'll invite Asma to come and read to us from Romans 12, verses 1 through 12. Asma?
Thank you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and a proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has a one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in the Christ, we thought many from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesizing, then prophecy is accordant with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to be encouraged, then give encouragement. If it is given, then given generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving God. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in the need. Practice hospitality. We celebrate the written word of Scripture.
Thanks be to God.
We celebrate the living word, Christ among us.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Holy Christ, you give us bodies to live life for you, and you call us together in one body, your body. In this moment, let us be open to the word you bring to us, that it might come to life in our flesh for the blessing of the world you love so very much. Amen.
Amen.
So when reading scripture, it's always a good idea to pay attention to the therefores. Back in college, I learned an inductive method of Bible study, a method that empowers each of us to look at the text, any scripture, notice what we see, and ask questions, and to learn and to go from there. Diana Paulk, the Methodist Sunday school teacher who taught me this inductive method, she would have us take a printout of the scripture passage and a set of colored pencils and sit with the scripture and circle the main words and concepts we were seeing, each in a different color, so we could start to see patterns. We circled any mention of God, Creator, Christ, Spirit, to see what God was up to in the scripture. We would note socioeconomic and historical things that raised questions for us or seemed important, things we wanted to follow up on. And we'd note the ways the sentences were structured, particularly the connecting words, the ifs, ands, and buts, and the therefores, because those connecting words mark movement in the text. Contrasts between ideas, the connection of thoughts in a series, and often the big important points in the argument or the big moments in the story. And among those connecting words, therefore is the big one. Therefore signals a connection, a transition, a movement into a summation, a main point. Therefore takes everything that has come so far, everything that is up to this point, the there, and it projects it on out into the future, the for, the what comes next. There, for, this, therefore that. This morning's scripture in the 12th chapter in Romans begins with therefore. It is a big transition in what is perhaps the Apostle Paul's biggest letter. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Romans, is his magnum opus. We have to imagine, Paul is this scrappy, dynamic apostle who's scrambling around the known Mediterranean world, bringing good news that keeps him on the move, fired up every day, the good news of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. The even better good news for Paul is that this love is for everyone, male and female, Jew and Gentile, enslaved and free, all genders, all people. So he goes from city to city, creating communities, helping establish churches, and then on to the next. And then he writes letters back to these churches he loves, helping them sort out their problems, like the letters to the Corinthians or the Thessalonians. The letter to the Romans is a bit different. It's a letter to a church Paul hopes to visit. He wants to go to the heart of the empire, to Rome, to the center of the known world, and bring the good news there. So he writes to the early believers in Rome to introduce himself. And he pours out everything he believes. That's the first 11 chapters of Romans. Paul writes, what God has been doing across history, God continues to do in Jesus Christ. God loves us with a love that is generated and available through grace. It flows from God's action first, then out into ours. The law we have known is now summed up in that love, and there's nothing that can separate us from that love. Not life, not death, not the present, not the past, not height, nor depth, not any power. Nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And breathlessly, the Apostle Paul gets to what we now call chapter 12, and he says, therefore, because of all this, because of all the infinite ways that God loves us, therefore, with all that you have learned, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Therefore, be transformed, be recreated. Paul writes, all the words that I've just said, all that we have seen in Jesus Christ, all the love that we know, let your bodies live this out. That's Paul's big therefore. The big transition into the big main point, the point of everything that has come before, the love that God has embodied for us in Jesus Christ, the grace that abounds, it comes to life now in us, in our bodies, in the life we create. Now, Paul uses the word body in two senses. God's grace comes to us, comes to life in our individual bodies. These bodies, the bodies we're in right now, they are the medium in which we experience and shape the world we live in. We live embodied lives. God creates and empowers each of us with grace gifts to serve and transform and recreate the world. And so Paul says, live that out. If your gift is teaching, well then, teach. If your gift is serving, which is actually the word deacon in the Greek, if your gift is deaconing, well then go deacon. If your gift is encouraging, then encourage. If your gift is leading, then lead diligently and thoughtfully. Every gift is needed. Every person is essential. Think of your gifts sensibly. Don't put yourself above others, but also don't sell yourself short. We are one body, each of us a member of that body. We belong to each other. We need each other. We are fearfully and wonderfully made to create together a life that loves the world. And that's the second sense that Paul uses body. Therefore, we are one body. All our bodies together in Christ, one body. This love that flows out from grace transforms us, recreates us into one body, one community, living, breathing, loving, serving, creating together as Christ's own body. We're interconnected, as one writer says, in one body as an example of the interdependency of life without hierarchy. One body. Each of us a valued member of that body and of each other. And then Paul shows us what that looks like in our bodies. Let love be genuine. Hate, reject what is evil, but cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving God. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Here is all the love that God shows us in Jesus Christ. Therefore, be transformed in your bodies so that as one body, we might love and transform the world in the life we create together. This summer, we've been on a journey exploring this theme, together we create. We've begun at the beginning, created by God in the image of God to join God in the work of creating. With Sarah and Hagar, we have wondered at how God creates with us beyond and through our imagining, how our lament and the pain of the world break something open and call us to recreate and repair and heal the world's hurt. We've heard a call to freedom, to live in freedom for the freedom of others. We've considered God's abundance in the seeds that are sown and in the loaves and fishes that we bring to feed a hungry world. With Jacob and Joseph, we've given thanks for God's presence and providence, accompanying and sustaining all that God has made. And we've considered Sabbath, the rhythms of rest and work that sustain our living. And then just last week, we've heard with Shifra and Pua and the women who started the revolution, we've heard the call to breathe together, to conspire, to live lives where something is at stake, lives that set the whole world free. So with all that, with all that we have learned, we find ourselves in the big therefore. With all that, with all that we have seen of God's creating love in the world and in us, therefore, what is the life that we will create together in our time for the living of these days? Now, we're thinking about that and already doing that in several different ways. About a month ago, we gave an update on the work of the Moving Forward Together team. We've been using a design process, a creative process, to think about how we might design our life through and beyond pandemic, and particularly how we might live out our life of worship and of service in the world and of connection. That process began with listening. This community had the chance to participate in a survey and in those listening conversations we did at the beginning of this month. With what they've heard, the needs and the hopes of this community, the Moving Forward Together team has now generated a list of over 90 ideas, big and small, for the days to come. And you've seen some of those already. The way that Natsuko, Vivian, and Danielle found a way last week to combine Natsuko's organ and Vivian's vocals in our congregational singing. There was last month's women's retreat led by Maureen and her team of leaders, and inspired by that, you're going to hear more in a little bit about next month's women's breakfast. We're starting to think about how to restart Sunday seminars, and every Sunday we go through all the ways you can find to participate in our shared justice work. Given the trajectory of the pandemic, The session has decided that our central worship will remain here on Zoom through the rest of this year. But even as we continue to create new ways of doing that, of doing this, the Moving Forward Together team has about 5 proposals before it of small projects that would begin to introduce some way for some folks to be in person, particularly as we're permitted to be outside. We hope to find a way to celebrate a baptism this fall. I'll be with the family, probably in the memorial garden with the family, and the baptism will be streamed as a part of our Zoom worship. We're hoping to find a safe way that a duet or trio of musicians might be able to record some music outside for our Zoom worship. And we have a small outside memorial service to plan. All of that has to be created in a way that is safe and faithful and beautiful. We also have some bigger thinking to do. Something that is just starting to come into focus for me is that one of the most significant things that God has done in our midst these months is to empower us to create what I'm going to call a non-geographic community. A community that has started to transcend the boundaries of distance. You've heard me say this a lot, but I love worshiping every Sunday with folks from across the country and around the world, having folks who have moved away back in the midst of us, new friends who are now a part of this community. As we think of what is the life we will create together, how are we going to make those relationships even more meaningful? How are we going to continue to create this non-geographic community? As we're able months from now, and it'll be months from now, to start somehow being in person, how do we create a blended non-geographic community so that all continue to be included and valued, so that everyone's grace gifts are experienced and lived out together? We may need to rethink entirely our concept of membership in a local church and reimagine even more expansively a full array of ways that folks can be a part of this body, that we can be a part of this body together. How will we live even more expansively into that promise we say again and again? Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever you are, there is a place for you here. This is exciting. It's something that hasn't been done like this before. And of course, as we envision the life we will create, we join the rest of the world and this nation in continuing to engage the anti-racism work that is ours to do, dismantling systems that oppress and kill people of color and building a new community where Black and Brown lives can thrive. Not being conformed to the world we have known for far too long, but being part of God's transforming of this world in our bodies for all bodies. The Apostle Paul's big therefore grounds us in the truth of God's boundless love for the whole world and then propels us into the transformed life that God is creating in us even now. It is a big therefore, a global therefore. But also remember that this is a particular word for you and for me in our bodies. And so I want to invite us now into some time just sitting with a part of this scripture and seeing what we see. Maybe pull out our mental colored pencils and circle what we see. The apostle gives us a vision of the life we can create, and I'm going to pull that up here on the screen, and I'm going to ask you, as we read through this, as we pray with this, to look at this list and to ask, which of these seem easier? Which of these seem more difficult? Which of these may present a challenge that you need to embrace? What are these words calling you to do and to be? Let's approach this in a spirit of prayer. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let love be genuine. Hate, reject what is evil. cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving God. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Friends, God loves us in Jesus Christ beyond all we could ever hope or imagine. In Jesus Christ, God loves us and saves us and the whole world from everything that does us harm. That love embraces everybody, and there's nothing that can separate us from that love. We are created in God's image, created to create. Therefore, let love be genuine. May we be transformed. May God's love for the whole world be embodied in our bodies. One body in the life we create together to bless the world God loves.